kind of strange for me because last night I was up here preaching. About 13 hours ago, 14 hours ago, we had a Hmong youth service, and it really looked nice in here with dark outside and the Christmas lights on and all that. But still getting a little echo feedback there. Last night when I got done, I had, between the singing and the preaching, I about didn't have any voice left, so I was wondering if I was going to have anything this morning. But I did, and I do. So we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1 yet. We're going to look at a part that's titled in the NIV version, Mary's Song. It's verses 46 through 55, chapter 1. Let's just take a quick peek there. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble estate of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers." Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your blessings this morning. We thank You for Your Word and at this Christmas season. Lord, we recall the advent of the Christ. We look at this song that Mary spoke or sang, and her response when Elizabeth greeted her. Lord, we ask that You would speak to us through this word. You'd encourage us and You would show us each how we can better worship at Christmas. Lord, we ask Your presence here, that You indeed would be manifestly present. Now, Father, let Your name be the one lifted up and glorified. Let Your people be encouraged and blessed. Bless this all in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing I forgot. Donna has requested, Mike made mention earlier, but I'm going to mention again, Donna has requested that all the little kids, for that matter, younger, older kids can be here too, downstairs during the Sunday school hour for a little bit of practice, but they're going to be part of a little something that's going to be going up here during the program on Sunday before Easter. So it'll be, this is Sunday before Easter, but Sunday before Christmas. Gotta have Christmas before you can have Easter. So, technically, I was correct. Okay, I wasn't even technically correct. We'll just leave it alone. Okay. As I was reading this passage over and over again this week, I was struck by one word. Has. For he has been mindful of me. For he has done great things. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation. And he has performed mighty deeds. And he has scattered those. And he has brought down rulers. But he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry. He has helped the servant. He has sent away the rich. He has remembered. He's done all. Has is a past tense in English, pretty much. When somebody says that someone has done that, we say that it's in the past. It's already occurred. But in the Greek, it's a little bit more. It's not just past tense. There's also this continuation of something that's present and ongoing. So yes, it has happened, but it's also occurring right now. It's going to keep on happening. And that's what Mary's looking at here. Now remember, I talk about Mary and Nora Jean runs away just because I picked on her last week. No, she's 18. I like to pick on the 15-year-old for Mary. But at 15, maybe she's 16 now. Probably not. We're probably talking within a month, just a few weeks of having been spoken to by Gabriel. Now she's off to see her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth says, "Wow! The baby jumped when you came in the room. And I know why he jumped. It's because God has touched you." And Mary's response is not to say, "Oh no, shucks, couldn't be." "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Her spirit is rejoicing in what He has done. All these different things she lists out. He's done this. He has done that. He has done this for me. So far, what has God done for Mary? Giving her a whole bunch of headaches. Remember the situation. She was told by the angel that, "Hey, you're going to be pregnant. And you're going to be the mother See, it pays to pay attention. You're going to be the mother of God, the Son of God, of the Messiah. Wow. And Mary's rejoicing. Now she knows she's got to go through the hard stuff before she gets to the good stuff. Amy is our most recent mother. Is there hard stuff that comes before you get to hold the baby? Yes. Is that the end of the hard stuff? No. Jeannie, as our oldest mother here, is the hard stuff done with being a mom at your age? But it's not over yet, is it? Is all the hard stuff gone? Nope. But she rejoiced. soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My Savior. That's kind of a unique concept for someone just 15 years old to come up with. Because up to this point, it wasn't my Savior. It was the Savior of Israel. And I just get saved because I'm a member of the people of Israel. It was Moses who led the people out of captivity. Let my people go. I can't sing, so I'm not going to. I love that cartoon or something. Let my people go. Do we have a baritone out there? But it wasn't the personal identification of God as Savior. It was God saved the people of Israel. And here we have Mary going, He's my Savior, not the Savior of my people. Mine. My God, and God, my Savior. For He has been mindful of the humble estate of His servant. She knows, hey, I'm 15. Approximately. But it's a tough gig. What she's going to have to go through. I have to leave here after I'm done visiting with my cousin and go explain to my betrothed how I'm with child. Not an easy thing. I have to explain it to my parents. I got to explain that. Now I got Mary at bat, or I got my cousin Elizabeth kind of batting for me, but you know, she's not going to be there. You know, and she's cheating because she's got, you know, this, you know, herald of God growing within her who's got the Holy Spirit in him, and he recognized right away what was going on. I'm not so sure, Mom and Dad, and Joseph are all going to be in line with this. But she's glorifying God and she's rejoicing in her spirit. Because all these things she's speaking of as if they're past tense. And that's important because when God says that it's going to happen, you can now speak of it in the past tense. Because when God says it's going to be, it is. Now when I say that we're going to have an annual meeting on Saturday the 19th of January, it could happen, but it could change too. It could be all sorts of things that Jesus could come first. Jesus comes, annual meeting's canceled. Okay, just... For the record. But if God says this is what's going to be, that's what's going to be. And as if it's already occurred. When He made the decision that He would come as a babe and live the life of a man on earth and proclaim the gospel and die on the cross and give up that sacrifice for all of mankind, it was a done deal from the moment He made that decision. Well, when did that decision occur? Oh, I think sometime around creation. And when God says it will be, it is. And we can speak of it in the past tense. It might be ongoing and continuing, but it's done deal. Now, we just might have that annual meeting on the 19th. It's certainly possible. I'm shooting for it. But it wouldn't be the first time we moved the annual meeting date. You know, and we have a little note in here that says annual reports are due on the 13th. I could almost laugh. I have yet to set a date for annual reports and have them actually be in on that date. Now, I'm as guilty as anybody else. See, when I speak about something, you can't say, oh, it's a done deal. The pastor said it so. But when God speaks on it, it is a done deal. And we can now praise Him because He has said He is coming back. It's as if it's already happened in the reality of eternity. The war's already been won. It was won before it ever started. See, it's not about two guys of equal strength going up against each other. Satan never had a chance. He's not on par with God. He's just being used in God's plan through his own failings. See, none are perfect except God. So God is the only one who, when He says it is, it is. So Mary was rejoicing. Her spirit is rejoicing. Is your spirit rejoicing this Christmas? Is your spirit rejoicing this Christmas? It ought to be, because God has said that you are His child. God has said that you are a member of His household. God has said that you will be with Him for all of eternity. It's a done deal. All because God said. Hey, if it's good enough to create the light in the world, it's certainly good enough for me to take His word. Take God's word. Rejoice this Christmas. Not because December 25th is Jesus' birthday. We don't know exactly what day it is, but it's just the day that we've chosen and said, okay, we're going to celebrate here. Why? Because of Christmas, we can have Good Friday. And because of Good Friday, we can have Easter. And because of Easter, we can have our broken relationship with God restored and created anew. And we can be with Him for all of eternity. Because that was always God's plan. Always His desire. And He has done all the work. We just got to eat the cake. Chocolate cake. Let's pray. Father God, we do come before You. And we thank You that this is a season to rejoice in our spirit. To rejoice for what You have done. That this baby, which is just barely conceived at the time of this passage that Mary is speaking of. And she's speaking as if salvation has already been assured. Because it has. That work has all been done. Lord, as her spirit rejoices in God, her Savior, might our spirits rejoice in God, our Savior, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our God. Let us rejoice in Him in His name, and His name alone. Amen. Let's stand as we close by singing O Little Town.